Good morning. Good to see each one of you here this morning. Appreciate you being here for our Sunday school hour. And certainly thankful to the Lord for this beautiful day that He's given to us to be able to meet together here in His house. In our study together last time, you will remember we saw how that the Christian life is likened in the Bible. It is likened to a race. And there were three things that we saw about this race to which the Christian life is likened. We saw, first of all, that there is a course to follow. There's a course to follow, just like in the running of an Olympic race. People just don't run wherever they want to. They have a course that they have to follow. And so in the Christian life, there's a course to follow, and of course, that course is the one that God Himself has set for us. So there's a course to follow. Number two, there's an effort to give. And the effort is simply that we need to stay on the course that God has put before us. And then we need to run with patience the race that God has given to us. And so there's an effort to give. And then we also saw a third thing, and that is this. There is an example to follow. And the example, of course, that we are to follow is the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking, remember the Bible says there in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so we saw how that the Christian life then is like, it's likened to a race, but then we pointed out four things together as we run this race. We saw how that it's a race that is run by faith, and faith then runs with goals. Just as the runner in the Olympics runs with a goal in mind, as believers in Christ, as we run the race God has set before us, there are goals, and the goals are godliness, and there's also the goal of life. The goal of godliness, the goal of having a life that is pleasing and honoring to our God. Those are the goals that we have in mind. And then we saw that faith runs with energy. Faith runs with energy. In other words, it's not a race that is run depending on our own strength and our own power, but it's a race that is run depending on God's power as He empowers us by His Holy Spirit. And then we saw that faith runs with focus, putting aside anything and everything that might hinder us from running the race that God has given to us. We need to be focused on the fact that we are in a race. And so we set aside everything that might hinder us from running the race. And then, of course, number four, faith runs with patience. And we saw that patience is simply cheerful endurance as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and run the race. But everybody knows that becoming a champion runner, becoming an Olympic gold medalist, is not something that just happens, right? You don't just wake up one morning and say, hey, I think I'll run in the Olympics. Ta-da, I'm the gold medal winner. Doesn't happen that way. You've all heard the expression, right? No pain, no gain, right? So there are disciplines that have to be put into place. There are disciplines that have to be put into place. In order to become the champion runner, there are some things that a runner will do in order that he might run well the race that God has set before him. In other words, a champion runner will discipline himself so that he will get the proper amount of sleep at night. He doesn't stay up all night watching the late show, doesn't stay up all night playing video games, you know, about Olympic runners running around. No, it's more than this right here, right? He understands that he's got to get a proper amount of sleep. And so he's not up all night long. He also understands that he has to discipline himself to follow a proper diet. You don't just feast on junk food all the time. There has to be a proper balanced diet in order to be the runner that you ought to be. And then also there's the exercise faithfully part. exercise faithfully, not laying in bed till noontime, but getting up and getting into an exercise routine in order that he might do and run the race that he desires to run. And he does all of these things. His mind, understand, when he does all of these things, his mind is not focused on these things. In other words, his mind is not focused on the disciplines that he has made to be a part of his life. Rather, his mind is focused on when that day comes, when I'm going to be in the race. I'm doing all of this in preparation, but I'm not focusing on the preparation. I'm focusing on the race that is to come. And so he's focusing on that day when all of these efforts are going to pay off. And he's going to step up to the top box and they're going to put the gold medal around his neck and he's going to be declared the champion. Now in the same way, if we're going to run well the race that God has given us to run, there are some spiritual disciplines that need to be a part of our life. There are some spiritual disciplines that we need to be aware of. And again, though, there's a danger here. And the danger is that we become so focused on the spiritual disciplines. We become so fixated on doing the things that Christians are supposed to do, we forget why we're doing it. We forget why we're doing it. In other words, we lose sight of the goal. The goal has become the things that we're doing, and we lose sight of the fact that we are doing these things, not just so we can do them, but so that God will be honored and glorified in our life. That's why we do it. That's why we do it. And so with that in mind, I want us to notice these disciplines, and I want us to begin by noticing the nature of spiritual disciplines. The nature of spiritual disciplines. Now, in our study together last time, you remember we saw the Apostle Paul. He was writing to his young son in the ministry, Timothy. Here's what he said. He said, "Exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Exercise thyself rather to godliness. Now, spiritual health is similar to physical health. To be physically healthy, you need some exercise. Not just eating properly. That's important. But you also need to exercise. Need to exercise. And by the way, when I speak of exercise, I'm not talking about getting out of your chair every 10 minutes walking to the refrigerator for a snack. That's not the exercise I'm talking about, okay? Rather, exercise, even though it may help, you need to understand, exercise is not a guarantee to be healthy. Okay? You can exercise every day, still not be healthy. A fellow by the name of James F. Fix, back in 1977, he wrote a book called The Complete Book of Running. The Complete Book of Running. As a result, he is said to have helped to start a fitness revolution. And he did that because in his book, he demonstrated the healthy benefits of regular jogging. And so he showed how that a active lifestyle will actually help you to live longer. And so he wrote this book preaching this message of jogging for your health and all of that. On the 20th of July, 1984, at the age of 52, while Mr. Fix was out running his morning jog, he suddenly dropped dead from a massive heart attack. Now here's a man who's running all the time. But you see, the exercise does not guarantee good health. In fact, when they did the autopsy on him, the chief medical examiner revealed that Fix had actually died because of three major blocked arteries around his heart. One of them had a blockage of 95%. One had a blockage of 85%. And the other one had a blockage of 70%. Here's a man who was running every day, wrote a book about it. started a fitness revolution, but he was not fit. You see, the exercise does not guarantee that you're going to be healthy. The exercise does not guarantee you're going to be healthy. Now, spiritual exercise, the spiritual version of this is that spiritual exercise. In other words, putting to work these spiritual disciplines that we're going to be talking about. Putting these spiritual disciplines to work in your life, you need to understand that simply following the disciplines is not going to make you spiritually healthy, and it's not going to guarantee that you are godly. Okay? In other words, we can be doing all of the right things, and yet if our heart isn't right, see, then we miss the blessing. We miss the benefit. Now let me give you a couple of examples. I think that will help to illustrate what we're talking about. And these are Bible examples that we can find. And I want you to notice, first of all, we find the story of the blind man. This is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 35, down to verse number 43. And we find this blind man was sitting just outside the city of Jericho. And because he's blind, he had this place picked out. He would go there. He would sit by the wayside, and as people were coming to and from the city, he would beg. He would beg for money. And so this blind man is sitting by the wayside, and he's begging, as was his custom. And on this particular day, though, he hears this crowd of people, kind of unusual, so many people in one group. He hears this crowd of people passing by, and he begins to question, what in the world is going on? And someone tells him, well, Jesus is passing by. Jesus is passing by. And as soon as this blind man heard that Jesus was the one who was passing by, in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 38, he began to cry out. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now you know the story, right? All of the crowd that was there, they began, shh, be quiet. The Lord is busy. Don't bother him. You're just a beggar. You be quiet. You hush, hush. And yet, the more they tried to hush him, the louder he got, right? And he begins to cry out even more. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And as a result of his cry, you remember the Lord Jesus stopped, right? The Lord Jesus stopped. The Lord Jesus went to him. And that man's life was totally changed by the healing and also by the salvation that the Lord Jesus gave to him. That's the blind man. Not only do we find the story of a blind man, I'm going to tie these together in a minute, so stick with me here, don't get lost. Not only do we find the story of a blind man, we find the story of the hated man. This is found in the very next chapter, in Luke chapter 19, verse 1 down to verse number 10. And the story of the hated man was, of course, the story of the man whose name was Zacchaeus. You remember Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a hated man because he was a pawn of the Roman Empire. Even though he was Jewish, he was employed by the Romans to collect taxes for Rome. And not only was he considered to be a traitor, because he's working for this government that has invaded and occupied his own country, he's also known basically to be a dishonest crook. Because whatever Rome said the taxes were supposed to be, he would always add a little bit to that for his own Swiss bank account, right? And so he's amassing a fortune here. He's a mess, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. And so because of that, he's a man who was hated. But when the Lord Jesus came to the city of Jericho, because he was a short man, I can identify with him. Because he was a short man, he couldn't see over the crowd. And Jesus is passing by, but Zacchaeus couldn't see over the crowd. And so, you know the story, right? He runs ahead, and he climbs up a tree. Climbs up a sycamore tree, the Bible says. And as Jesus passed by, the Lord saw him, knew who he was. And the Lord Jesus calls out to him, and as a result of that, the Lord goes to his house, and just a wonderful thing happens, because on that day, the life of this man was totally changed as the Lord Jesus gave to him the gift of salvation. Now let me make an application, tie these two things together. I want to make the application. Both of these men, used something. They used something to put them in a position so that God could bless them. There was something in their life, they put it in place so that they would be positioned where they could have a meeting with the Lord Jesus and their life could be changed. You see, there's nothing spiritual about using your vocal cords. Nothing spiritual about that. Nothing spiritual about calling out to the Lord Jesus. Nothing spiritual about saying, Lord, help me, give me wisdom, give me this, give me this. Nothing spiritual about that. There's no spirituality in using your vocal cords. And there's certainly no spirituality in climbing a tree. If that was true, I'd be the most spiritual guy you ever met, because when I was young, I loved to climb trees. Had a tree house. But there's nothing spiritual about that. Nothing spiritual about climbing a tree. Here's the thing. Using your vocal cords or climbing a tree, there's no spirituality in either one of those exercises unless the exercise is putting you into a position where that you can meet with God. And God can do a work in your life, you see. And in the very same way, nothing real special, nothing real spiritual about coming to church. Now I've got your attention now, don't I? Nothing real spiritual, nothing real special about going to church. Because you see, there are people who go to church every Sunday and it doesn't do them a bit of good. Doesn't do them a bit of good. They come in lost, they go home lost. Or they come in backslidden and they go home backslidden. Hasn't helped them a bit. Hasn't helped them a bit. But when you go to church with the express purpose of wanting to put yourself in a position where you can see the Savior more clearly, and when you come to church with a heart desire that more than anything else, you want to hear from God, and you want to hear what He would say to you and what He would have for you to do, when that's the attitude of your heart when you come to church, then going to church is going to help you to grow spiritually stronger. And it's going to help you to become more and more like your Savior. Now that's the nature of spiritual discipline. These spiritual disciplines are simply things that we do, not in order that we might say, oh boy, look how spiritual I am. No, that's not it at all. The spiritual disciplines are things we do that will put us in a position where that God can work in our heart. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you look at me like a cow looking at a new gate, like, what are you talking about? Yeah, that's the nature of the spiritual discipline. Now, going right along with that, let me also say that there are some dangers with spiritual disciplines. There are some dangers with spiritual disciplines. You go to a gym to exercise. You go to a gym to exercise, a lot of times somewhere within that gym, and usually it's right by the door where you go in to sign in and register and all of that, you're going to see a sign full of warnings. Check with your physician. In other words, they don't want you to drop dead while you're in their gym. That's the idea. But check with your physician. Check the equipment to make sure it's all working properly. Make sure there are no broken. All of these warnings are given. And the reason is simply because of the fact that while it is true that exercise can be very good for us, it can also be very dangerous. It can also be very dangerous. And the same thing is true spiritually. While exercising ourselves in the spiritual disciplines that we find in the Scripture, there are some dangers that we need to be aware of. There are some dangers. And so I want us to notice a couple of things here. First of all, when it comes to these spiritual disciplines that we're going to, and by the way, we're going to see them next week. We're not actually going to talk about them today. We're going to talk about them next week. This is just foundation. But I want you to understand these spiritual disciplines that we're going to see, they can be very dangerous. And here's the first danger I want you to notice. There's the danger of routine. The danger of routine. This was one of the issues that the Lord Jesus raised with the Jewish leaders, you remember. They had all kinds of spiritual disciplines that they were observing. All kinds of spiritual disciplines that they were following. And yet the Lord said to them in Luke chapter 11 verse 42, He said, "Woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone." In other words, the Jews were looking at the spiritual disciplines like fair price supermarket. They would go through and they would say, "Well, I want to follow this one. I'll follow this one. No, I don't like that one. I won't do that one. No, I don't want to do that. Yeah, this one over here, I'll do that." And so they picked and chose which disciplines they were going to follow. And the Lord Jesus said, "Wait a minute, you guys have totally missed it. You've picked some and you've ignored those that were most important. You've picked some and ignored those that were most important. What they were doing was good, yes. And what they were doing was right, absolutely. But they were doing those things, notice it, here's the condemnation. They were doing those things without judgment and without any love for God." See? In other words, they're just going through the religious motions, but their heart is not close to God. Their heart is not close to God. Their religious routine, they had it all down pat. Had their religious routine, didn't do them any good. Didn't benefit them at all. And the very same thing can happen to us if we're not careful. We may become like those people the Apostle Paul mentioned to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. It's very possible we can become like those who, having a form of godliness, but we've lost the power. We've lost the power. Looks right. Sounds right. The form is there, but the power is missing. The power is missing. I'll give you an example. One of the disciplines that we're going to see is the reading of God's Word. That's a spiritual discipline. Ought to be a part of our everyday life. The reading of God's Word is something that we ought to do every day, because as we get into the Word of God, that's where we learn to know God. That's where we learn to fear God as we should. Getting into God's Word, that's where we learn to trust Him. And that's where we learn to obey Him. But see, here's the problem. Here's the problem. If we're not careful, we can become caught in a trap of simply reading God's Word so that we can check it off of our list of things to do today. See what I'm saying? And so instead of reading God's Word, meditating on God's Word, thinking on God's Word, we're speed reading through God's Word just so I can tick it off. "Oh yeah, I did that today. Ooh, boy, aren't I spiritual? What did you read about?" "Well, I can't remember what I read about, but it was good." Routine. Instead of reading God's Word to fellowship with Him, instead of reading God's Word to hear from Him, it's just something that we do on a daily basis without any real thought. It is routine That's a danger. There's the danger of routine. Not only do we need to beware of routine, number two, we need to beware of the danger of satisfaction. The danger of satisfaction. If we forget that the goal of spiritual disciplines is that we would become godly, if we forget the goal of these spiritual disciplines is that we might become God-centered in our lives, therefore the danger is that we will begin to perform these spiritual disciplines, and in the performing of the disciplines, we become comfortable with ourselves. We become comfortable with ourselves. In other words, we begin to think, well, you know, man, I go to church. I go to church for Sunday school. I go to church. I even stay for the Sunday morning. And every now and then, if I feel like it, and if it's not raining outside, I'll stay for the Sunday afternoon. And just every now and then, I might even show up on Wednesday night. And everybody is shocked that the ceiling doesn't fall in when I walk into the door, you know. And so we think all of these things. You know, I go to church and then I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying and I'm even giving my tithe and on top of that, I'm even giving to Faith Promise Missions. And I'm doing all of these things and every now and then I'll even go out for visitation. And as a result, we start to think, you know, I'm actually a really good Christian, and we become comfortable. We become comfortable. We begin to think that when it comes to our spiritual life, we really have it all together. Really got it all together. But the fact is, no matter how much we may grow spiritually, we never reach the pinnacle of perfection. Therefore, none of us, no matter what we do or how much of it we do, have any right to boast or think that we are anything. And we certainly have no right to feel comfortable with where we are in our spiritual relationship with God. Because you see, the Lord Jesus made it very clear in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 48, "Be ye therefore comfortable." Is that what it says? No. No, here's the standard. You be perfect. Well, how perfect is perfect? You know, we all have our own perception of what perfection is, right? So, well, just how perfect do I have to be, Lord? Well, here's the answer. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's what God expects from you. That's what God expects from me. Not satisfaction with the status quo. Not, well, you know, I'm better than most people at HBC. No. The standard is God's perfection. That's the standard. And the fact is, no matter how much we may grow, God's desire is that we might be perfect. That's the goal for which we ought to be striving. And that's why the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, he said, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ," in other words, moving from the most basic Christian doctrines, moving from the kindergarten of Christianity, if you will, moving from the most basic things, "Let us go on to where? To perfection." Leave the basics and let's keep growing till we reach the place that God wants us to be. Beware of the danger of getting caught in simply a routine. Beware of the danger of becoming satisfied with the status quo in your life. And then number three, beware of the danger of pride. Beware of the danger of pride. Let me just tell you something here. Here's a note you may want to write down. There is nothing more unchristian than a Christian who is proud of his Christianity. Nothing more unchristian than a Christian who is proud of his Christianity. You need to, in fact, the Bible tells us that pride in our hearts will actually cancel out the grace of God that wants to work in our life. But when we have a heart that is full of pride, it cancels out the graces that those spiritual disciplines might bring. You remember what the psalmist said, Psalm 138, verse 6, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly." The Lord's high, He's way up here, but He has respect to those who are way down here. And then notice what it says, "But the proud." That is, those who are actually down here, but they think they're up here, right? The proud, what does it say? "He knoweth afar off." He knoweth afar off. That's why the Apostle Peter admonished every one of us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. He said, all of you, I checked that out in the Greek. You know what it means? It means all of you. Including me too. All of us. All of us. He says, "All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility." And here's the reason why. Because God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And see, when we become proud of all these spiritual disciplines that we have adopted in our life and we begin to think more of ourselves than we ought to think, what we are actually doing is we are canceling out the grace of God in our life. Doesn't mean we lose our salvation. It just means we lose the blessings of His grace working in our life. We can be diligently practicing all of these things with energy. But if there's an attitude of pride in our hearts, we will be put in a place where we totally miss God's blessings. Totally miss God's grace. One writer said it very well. He said, "When pride is in our hearts, it's like putting yourself in the path where God's grace will come and then building a fence around yourself." Think about it. You put yourself in the path with the Christian spiritual disciplines. You put yourself in the path where God's grace is going. But then you build a wall around yourself with your pride. And you keep it from allowing it to have a part in your life. Beware of the danger of routine. Beware of the danger of satisfaction. Beware of the danger of pride. But then there's one more I want us to notice. That's the danger of impatience. The danger of impatience. Imagine someone says, "You know what? Exercise is a total waste of time. I exercised yesterday and I did not lose the 10 pounds I wanted to lose." We all know how silly that is, right? We all know how silly. Doesn't work that way. For exercise to be effective in changing our appearance, it has to be done daily. It has to be done every day. And some days you'll step on the scales and you'll say, "Hey, look, I lost 1 ounce." Whoopee! Some days you'll step on the scale and say, "Oh no, I gained a pound." Okay? In other words, there are days when it kind of goes up and down and it fluctuates. And we understand that's how physical exercise works. That's how physical exercise works. The same thing is true spiritually. When we begin the spiritual disciplines, I just tell you right now, you're not going to see immediate results. It's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to see immediate results that you desire to see. In other words, if you exercise yourself with the spiritual disciplines today, tomorrow you're not going to wake up a spiritual giant. Doesn't work that way. Have to be patient. In fact, notice with me in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime," Apostle Paul is speaking here of the Old Testament Scriptures, "those things were written aforetime were written for our learning," now notice it carefully, "that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So the Bible was given so that we might learn God's truth, that we might be comforted by the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. But I want you to notice that the learning and the comfort and the hope comes through patience. Doesn't come overnight. Comes through patience. Comes through patience. In other words, it comes as we on a daily basis are continually filling our hearts and our minds with the Word of God, even when we feel like we're getting nothing out of it. Heard a story about a little boy one time. He told his dad, said, "Dad, you know, when I read the Bible, it just seems like I read it, it goes in, goes out, and it's not a doing anything. I'm not accomplishing anything in my life. I just feel like it's a waste of my time because nothing sticks up here. Goes in one ear, out the other." And so his dad gave him an old, rusty bucket that was full of holes. And he said, "Son, take this bucket, go down to the well and fill it up with water." He said, "Okay, Dad." So he takes the bucket, goes to the well, fills it up with water. By the time he gets back to his dad, all the water has leaked out of the holes. And so he said to his dad, "Well, here's the bucket, but that was a wasted trip. There's nothing in there." And his dad said, "Yes, son, you're right. But notice how much cleaner the bucket is." See, that's what happens when we read God's Word. You may feel like there's nothing sticking in there, but as it passes through, it's going to have a cleansing effect in your life. And so never get the idea that you're just wasting your time. You're not getting anything out of it. But we also need to be careful. We need to be careful that as we exercise these spiritual disciplines, don't become impatient. Don't become discouraged. Rather, determine that you're going to keep doing them and doing them and doing them until Jesus comes to take you home. Until Jesus comes to take you home. Well, we're out of time, so we're going to stop here. Next time, we're going to identify what are the spiritual disciplines. What are these things that ought to be an active part in each of our lives? What are these things that we ought to be doing on a daily basis in order that we might become, the dynamic Christians that God desires for us to be? And we'll do that next time. Heavenly Father.